Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rex Hoggart, let's see if Rex agrees. Rex is from the Golf Channel, right there, golfchannel.com, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Rex, how are you today?
I agree entirely. There you have it. I'm on the record with these two guys. I mean, it was historic. I was there in 2008 when he won the Open on one leg. I was there in 2005 when he won his last Masters. I was there when he completed the Tiger Slam. This one, for a lot of different reasons, was more significant. It was probably the most difficult of the 15 majors he's won, and certainly I think it was the most meaningful.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that last statement. Some people would say, and again, you reference some amazing things. I'm going through my mind. I could actually see him limping around the fairway with Rocco Mediate coming back to play 18 for the U.S. Open on the Monday. For it to be this sensational, for this story to be so amazing, you know, you had a crash to a depth where you were no longer recognizable as a golfer. And in a lot of ways, recognizable as a person, Rex. Are you buying, because I am, but some aren't, but I want to hear from you. Are you buying that Tiger Woods is truly a changed person? You buy that?
I do, yeah. I mean, I've covered him his entire career. I started covering golf the year he turned pro, and I've seen the ups and the incredible victories, and I've seen the unbelievable lows that he's gone through. But the one thing that's truly different now, and it is with the media. I mean, I will say that he's much more engaging. You can sit and have a conversation with him now about anything, the Raiders, the Lakers, you know, any of his favorite teams. He's more than happy to talk to you now. But it's more about how he engages with everyone else around him. I mean, you saw it at Augusta National on Sunday as he's coming off the 18th green. He's high-fiving people. Tiger never really did that. And he's engaging with people in the crowd. And you talk about identifying with the story, golf fan or not. I don't think there's a better story than a reclamation project. I mean, the comeback story is what books are written about. And when you consider just 3 years ago, he sat in that clubhouse for the champions dinner and told one of the other former champions, I'm done. I'm finished playing golf.
Wow.
And to cover all that ground and to come back and do what he has accomplished, I mean, I don't know that he ever really impresses himself. I think this might.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, Rex, because you talk about, 08 and Torrey Pines when he's limping around with a bad wheel. And a lot of people have told us and told me that challenge was what kind of propelled him to that victory. He needs a challenge. Do you think that some of his falling downs or the challenges that he needed to find it again, you know what I mean, to find a passion in order to be successful again?
I think there might be something to that. I agree with you. He's always played his best golf when he has a chip on his shoulder, and I think most great athletes are probably the same way. I can imagine Michael Jordan, and you can probably go down the list. If someone tells you you can't do something, then I'm going to prove you wrong. And certainly after he went through his fall and to come back, I think that would have been motivation enough. But injury now became part of the conversation. He couldn't move. He couldn't pick up his kids. I mean, at the President's Cup just 2 years ago, he couldn't drive around in a golf cart. So, I mean, physically, he just couldn't do it. And I think in a lot of ways, reaching that bottom physically, where he had to come to terms with his competitive mortality, that, look, I might be done, that my best years might be behind me, and I might become a ceremonial golfer, I think that gave him a different perspective more than anything else.
Yeah, and you know what else you notice, Rex, is that, you know, think of a pitcher. We have a good friend here, CeCe Sabathia, who, you know, used to throw gas, and now he's had to slow it. He had to learn how to be a pitcher, just to take an analogy from a sport that non-golfers would understand. He had to place. He had to, you know, hit the zone. You know what I mean? It was different than overpowering someone. Tiger, even though he's lost a little bit of his physical dominance that he had in the day, it's like he learned how to become a pitcher, right? He learned how to become a golfer, and it's actually set him up to win this Masters when you look at the mistakes that others made on 12 and how he dialed in at 16 and he conceded, you know, par opportunities. I just got to get bogey here and move on. I mean, that evolution of Tiger is kind of more impressive than anything.
He's talked about, you know, going back to the Michael Jordan reference, about, you know, Michael talked about late in his career learning how to hit the jump shot and the fadeaway, right?
I mean,
that's what gave him so much longevity. And Tiger has kind of equated it to golf, where, yes, I've learned how to hit the fadeaway. And by that, he means that he's not going to overpower the course anymore. He's not the longest guy out there. I mean, there are players now on the PGA Tour that just bomb it by him. And so, yes, I have to figure out another way of doing it. That being said, the performance that we saw over the last few days, that was quintessential Tiger.
Yeah.
You could have dialed him back, and I could show you a swing from Sunday yesterday, and I could have shown you a swing from 2005, and be like, yeah, that's the same guy. Like, yeah, I can see it. There's no difference in that athlete. And he was working the ball both ways brilliantly. He was making the putts he needed to make. He didn't make every putt, but he never did. He just made the clutch putts. And talking with Joey LaCava, his caddy, after the round, I think competitively the biggest difference, if you want to get down into the weeds, he talked about the last few years playing Augusta. He would get to 13th, the par 5, the iconic hole. We all know you have to wrap it around the corner. And he would defer to a 3-wood because he didn't trust his driver to try to turn it around the corner. He hit driver there every day this week. And mm-hmm. there was a confidence that Joey said hadn't been there.
Oh, God, I can do this all day. I got to go home and watch highlights again. Rex Hoggard is with us, golfchannel.com writer, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So as you would imagine, you know, Rex, I'm sure if you haven't written about it yet, you will. I'm sure you've conversed about this with many people around the game. The inevitable comparisons to what Jack did back in 86. And, you know, it's obviously an opinion. You know, I think if you're 70 years old and you're sitting here and you're watching Tiki and I in Florida and you retired and, I don't know, you watch us here on the Simulcast, you're probably saying, nah, back in 86, that was better. I get that. I respect it. It's your realm. It's your frame of reference. It's all good. But what I think is very important is that, you know, Jack had won in 1978, won a major, won two majors in 1980, and then went 6 years, almost 6 years, with a donut before winning at Augusta, and then never won again, excluding the senior tour, after he won at 86. If I were to say right now, Tiger Woods will never win again, forget about catching Jack, he'll never win again, the percentage that if his back stays healthy, if he stays okay, what's the percentage you would put on that besides zero? Because you know he's going to win again.
And he's healthy, and you're saying he's never going to win again? Yeah.
No, I'm saying he's definitely going to. I'm saying he's going to win next month at Bethpage. I'm saying, but I'm saying, do you think that there's any chance that this is a flash in the pan for some who believe that it might be, which I don't.
No. The body of work speaks for itself. I mean, that's really not an opinion. I mean, finishing off last season with a victory at the Tour Championship, I mean, that was the victory lap. I mean, that proved that, look, I can fight my way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he put himself into contention in the last two majors last year, the PGA and the Open Championship. So I think that was the body of work. And so now getting here and doing this, and I did not pick him last week. I didn't think his putting was good enough last week. However, when you put him on venues like Augusta National that requires so much institutional knowledge, yeah, you have to like his chances. And just not this year. I mean, I kind of extrapolated the math. Let's put Jack's 18 majors in perspective. Tiger's three short. He has 24 starts between now and the time he turns 50 in major championships. If you go back to that run from the early 2000s to 2005 when he was dominant, in a 24-event major run, he won nine majors. Now, no, he's not the same player, and the fields are different.
Yeah.
But if you put it in perspective, you're like, well, yeah, absolutely it's possible.
Yeah, three out of 24? I think he could probably do that. But what do you think he can play competitive golf until he's, like, late 40s?
Freddie Couples does.
Yeah, true, but not.
Vijay Singh does.
Yeah. You think Tiger can win a major when he's late 40s?
I think Tiger can win a major in his 50s if his body cooperates, and that's a big if.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that's had four back surgeries and numerous a litany of other injuries, so yeah. That is a huge if, but absolutely, if he can stay healthy and stay off the surgeon's table, then I think he can go into his 50s, because especially at a place like Augusta, you guys just pointed out, Freddie, year after year, somehow contends. Bernard Langer, late 50s, he finds a way to contend. There's institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yes, he'll have a lot of at-bats at Augusta.
You know, Rex, one of the things, and maybe this ties into what Teague said before about whether he got bored or he just wanted to challenge himself or needed an extra motivation, however you want to frame it, one of the things I love about this quote-unquote new swing, this new Tiger, is that he just went back to feel. You know, I'm sure there's math and science and there's angles behind it. Of course, there are when you're on the PGA Tour. But he just grabbed the club and he finally said, I'm just going to get to a slot that feels good and let physics take over. It seems like he's less
mechanical.
Yeah, good word. Less mechanical and just going back to the roots of the game when he first started playing.
I mean, this is both ends of the spectrum, right? I mean, he worked with Sean Foley.
Yep.
And not to get in the weeds, but and Sean is my boy. I mean, I have a huge amount of respect for him, but that is as technical as you get.
Yeah.
I mean, he is very scientific, and he's going to put you on the TrackMan machine, and we're going to talk about the numbers. He worked with Chris Como, who is very, very similar to that. And he is to the point now where he's going to feel it. He's got his friend and who worked for his foundation, Rod McNamara, who is also a very good player, standing behind him, and he'll bounce things off of him with the club inside, with it outside. But it is all about feel. And I think that might speak to how much longevity he might end up having.
All right. You'll be out at Bethpage, I would imagine, right? Have you ever played Bethpage, by the way?
I did. It was a difficult experience. It's a chapter of my life I'm trying to put away.
Absolute beast. You can't take carts. Oh, my God. But we might see you out there. We might be doing a show out there. So if we do, we'll certainly come say hi.
I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.